It's rise and shine at 0530 for men in the DuCoin Impact Incarceration Program. By 6, they're outside doing drills, scissor kicks, jumping jacks, and push-ups. Then it's time for a mile-long motivational run. Physical training is part of the routine at the boot camp. It's also used as punishment. Jason Henton is the program superintendent.
Well, that exercise there in itself is not that difficult. You can hear they're kind of winded. Just simply going to and from the exercise position is tedious.
These exercises are just one of the ways Illinois' correctional boot camps look to instill military-style discipline. Offenders march to and from assignments. They can only speak when spoken to and must address everyone as sir or ma'am. On the other hand, they get out sooner. The program in DuCoin is designed to last 120 days. But not a lot of offenders are getting sent to boot camp. When I visited last month, DuCoin had just 28 men. The facility can hold up to 300.
So, housing units. This is a traditional boot camp.
We are walking between one of two identical dorms. The current population does not even come close to filling it. In the other dorm, mattresses are piled head high in the corner. Henton says it's been like this for a few years. Under current law, a judge must recommend an offender for boot camp. That hasn't been happening, and supporters say it's because people don't even know the program exists. Illinois lawmakers want to fix that by requiring a judge to say yes or no to boot camps in all cases where the offender is eligible. But criminal justice experts say low participation has more to do with who qualifies in the first place. Offenders can only go to boot camp if they're between the ages of 18 and 36, convicted of a nonviolent crime, and sentenced to fewer than 8 years in prison. Dave Olson, a criminologist at Loyola University Chicago, says there's been a shift away from sending people like that to prison. Instead, they get probation or held in the county jail. He also says the popularity of boot camps peaked in the 90s, after the Gulf War.
It was based on a false premise that what criminals need is the kind of discipline you get in a boot camp. You know, we're going to humiliate them, we're going to shave their head, we're going to yell at them, which appeased the public because at the time that was what the public wanted, was punishment and retribution.
Back at DuCoin, Superintendent Henton says his boot camp has evolved with the times.
We have a kind of a therapeutic treatment community now. And I promise you, in 1998, when I was an officer here, we did not have that. We were drill sergeants, and security was first, and you didn't have any feelings, and it didn't matter what you were going to do on day 121.
Offenders spend hours each day in programs on substance abuse, anger management, fatherhood, and more. Dustin Michaels is at DuCoin for meth possession. He says the physical training is helping his body recover from drug use, and for the first time, he's getting addiction counseling.
Being with other people that have been in the same situation helps out a great deal. When you haven't been through it, you don't know. You know, you kind of feel isolated, alone. To know that there's other people with the same feelings and to see how they get through it helps out a lot.
Olson, the criminologist, says it's these kinds of services, not the paramilitary structure, that reduce the likelihood someone will commit another crime. But he says research shows the benefits of boot camp are short-lived. Long-term, recidivism rates stay almost the same.
If it doesn't reduce recidivism or anything like that, what it does do is it shortens the length of time in prison.
That might have value for a prison system that's as overcrowded as Illinois is, but Olson says selling it as a crime reduction strategy doesn't hold much water. I'm Dina Vollmer,